minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our poll question of the day, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, would you like to see the Broncos trade away Jerry Jeudy? And it does sound like, I mean, every day, Angel, we're hearing a different report about Jeudy, that they're interested, that they might be going this route, that they want a first-rounder, that they want a second-rounder and a player. I mean, do you think they're shopping him now at this rate? Because at first, I was under the impression that he wasn't really on the trade block, that it was going to be more of a, how do we get him to, or how do we at least get people to know that we will take a first-round pick? We'll give it to him. You know, we'll give Jerry Jeudy away for a first-round pick. That's what I was kind of under the impression. It was just more or less hey, you know, hypothetically, if Jerry Jeudy were to be traded, would you guys want to give us a first-rounder for him? And I don't know. The more stories we hear about this, the more I'm starting to think that maybe he is kind of on some kind of hush-hush trade. Not really hush-hush. It's out there, but.
Yes, we had heard early about the Broncos asking for at least a first-round pick for Jeudy. It appears that they may have lowered that offer. Benjamin Albright saying the price tag is a first-round pick or a high second-round pick and a player.
High second-round pick and a player. I just don't see that. I mean, our team's going to give that? Because what you were talking about at the beginning of the show, that the reports are basically saying that he's just too inconsistent right now. And that I don't know that you're going to, I mean, high second round pick and a player, that could turn out to equal like a first rounder, basically.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, is the price going to go down? I mean, the Broncos are desperate to get some more draft picks.
Yeah, and it seems that they value Jerry pretty highly if they're asking for a first or a second and a player. So they're not even touching third round, fourth round compensation.
Yeah. I don't know. Current receivers right now for the Broncos: Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Kendall Hinton, Montrell Washington, Brandon Johnson, and Jalen Virgil. They got a little Jordan Humphrey as their new guy coming in. But, you know, what does that position need to be for this offense? That's the question. Because it's not like the Saints didn't have Michael Thomas and didn't have good receivers before. But yeah, they had a good running game. They had a really good running game. They utilized their tight end as well. So are the Broncos, I'll be curious to see who they're going to draft with their first pick. I mean, how do they feel about their tight end position right now? Is that going to be something that's more coveted by them than a receiver? Because right now they have Greg Dulcich, Albert O. Quabanon. And then they brought in Chris Mann Hurts coming in. He's more of a blocking tight end. That's who he is. They moved on. They let Eric Saubert walk. Andrew Beck walked. Eric Tomlinson walked. I just wonder if Denver's going to keep pushing to trade guys, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, maybe move them both. And you got Tim Patrick. Your fingers are crossed that KJ Hamler's back. Are you comfortable, Kendall Hinton, Montrell Washington, Brandon Johnson, Jalen Virgil, and then maybe you find a way to get a better tight end in the draft or something? You drafted Dulcich last year, and I think that guy could work out. Albert O was just misused by Nathaniel Hackett and company. So I just wonder. I mean, the more we hear about Cortland Sutton and Jeudy being on the trade block or whatever it is, does that mean that this team, either they don't believe in their receivers they have right now, or they don't believe they need three kind of decent to maybe slightly good type wide receivers? They don't need three of them.
I think you definitely need a tight end. And, you know, this draft class is pretty deep when it comes to that position. But, you know, the Broncos aren't picking until 67. So if a guy that you like starts falling, do you jump back into the second round late to try to grab him?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, You could. And that's what I think the Broncos are trying to do here is acquire.
Do it without having to trade.
Yeah, acquire as many draft picks as they can get here to move up or down, to move around and see. Because tight end seems like a position of need right now. Like, what's their biggest position of need at this point? You know, are they going to draft a running back? Probably wouldn't hurt, but I don't know that that's a priority. Are they going to draft a quarterback? Maybe, but not this year. Are they going to draft a wide receiver? Not really a need right now. Are they going to draft more offensive linemen? Yeah, they probably will, but what's their first top priority? Because they just filled up their, you know, you think that their O-line looks pretty good right now. So is that going to be your first pick is an offensive lineman? However, Sean Payton always drafts offensive linemen. So that's going to happen, whether it's a big need or not. Defensive line? I mean, you got Zach Allen coming in. Mix him up with Jones and Purcell. Is it going to be a top? I mean, I'm saying you're probably going to think defensive line's up there. Outside linebacker? Probably a need for this team.
You want a pass rusher, but there's not going to be a ton in that third.
Yeah. I mean, because you got Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, and Nick Bonito, and you drafted Nick Bonito last year. You like Jonathan Cooper, too. He had some moments last year. But I would imagine that's a need as well. Inside linebacker, they just re-signed Singleton, right? So they got Alex Singleton and Josie Jewell. They got Jonas Griffith there, Justin Sternad. None of those two guys maybe could still be players. Didn't pick up anybody else really in free agency in that position. Is that going to be a strength? A weakness, I thought, going in last year. Maybe that's a strength. Cornerback, maybe you find somebody else, you know, to take over because you got Damari Mathis to be that number two guy. Who's Kaywan Williams is going to be the nickel. So, probably. So, do you go look into the draft there at a corner? Safety, I don't know. So, again, when I'm thinking of positions that are of need, defensive line, probably. And that probably goes hand in hand with an outside linebacker with the 3-4 defense that they're in. I don't think running back is a top priority. I don't think receiver is a top priority. I don't really think offensive line is a top priority. I'm not saying they shouldn't draft one. But tight end seems to be a position where you've only got three on the roster. And it's probably going to have to be a day two type tight end, obviously.
Well, I just think about previous Saints offenses, and with the way that Peyton is prioritizing the run game, you want a tight end that you can put on the line that can block. You want like a Jimmy Graham type of role player for that offense.
So who would be available? When's the Broncos' first pick right now?
Right now it is 67. That is the fourth pick in the third round.
So third round. So you're probably looking at... I'm just looking at some of the tight ends here. You're not going to see the Mayer, the Kincaids, Darnell Washington, no. What number would there be? What pick?
67.
Yeah, you're going far down. What about like Sam LaPorta out of Iowa? They always churn out tight ends. Is that the kind of guy that would be available? He's like the fifth best tight end in the league or in the draft.
Yeah, fifth best tight end on the big board. Let's see. Tankathon has him at 58th overall player.
And again, that's just going not based off needs necessarily.
Kraft is a good pick.
Yeah,
he's out of a D2 school,
South Dakota State.
But 6'5", 250. It's a big guy.
Can't catch. He's a good receiver.
This website doesn't have any stats for him.
Let's see.
He runs a 4.6940
for a big boy. It's not bad. I mean, Sam LaPorta is probably going to be too far out of your reach. There's the Clemson tight end. It's probably stops at Tucker Kraft as far as third round guys. So I mean, Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, Dalton Kincaid, Darnell Washington, Luke Musgrave, Sam LaPorta. Like those are all guys that are probably going to go first and second rounds, I would imagine. So is Sam a guy you could reach up and get to? Is a tight end a necessity for Sean Payton? I mean, that's going to be a big question for Denver going forward. For me, like, we're talking about the wide receivers so much.
Well, if they don't draft a guy, does that speak to the coach's staff and their ability to coach up whoever they have?
Yeah. That's, I mean, who was it for Drew Brees for so many years that was his guy? Jimmy Graham. I mean, Jimmy Graham. Wouldn't you say he was kind of a focal point for their offense when he was with the Saints?
Yeah, and then he got a huge deal from Seattle because of what he did in New Orleans.
Yeah, so can the Broncos find, can Greg Dulcich be their Jimmy Graham? Or can they find one in this draft? I just wonder how big of a need it really is. We haven't been talking about tight ends much.
No, I just
haven't heard a lot about it.
If you're going to be a run first offense, you'd like to have that kind of a tight end you can put out there. If you're going to run two tight end formation, you want at least one guy that can block.
Yeah. And could Jimmy Graham, he could block pretty good, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a big dude.
He was
very physical.
So with him, I mean, he was the guy for a while. He played with the Saints for about 5 years. And in those 5 years, he was putting up big numbers. Well, his rookie year, 31 receptions, 356 yards, 5 touchdowns. Second year with Drew Brees, 99 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 11 touchdowns. The next year, 982 yards. And again, this is even before we were seeing the tight end numbers that we see now. 982 yards, 9 touchdowns. Then he did, in 2013, 1,200 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Even by today, those are pretty
great numbers. His final year in New Orleans, he had 889 yards and 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's always...
That's a lot for a tight end.
Yeah. It didn't really work out for him, though, when he went to play with Russell Wilson.
Mm.
Things went down quickly from there. He played, in his first year with Seattle, he played in 11 games, and he had 48 receptions for 2 touchdowns and 605 yards. So you saw, you know, a decrease of about 40 catches, 200, maybe 300 yards, and 8 touchdowns. The next year, okay, he got back with it. They worked it out. 65 receptions, 923 yards. He had 6 touchdowns. Then he did a 520, 636, 447. Again, not terrible numbers for him, but when he was with Drew Brees, more in his prime, and I get that, he was churning out Pro Bowl numbers every year. So that's probably a guy that Denver's going to be looking to sync up with, a guy like that. 19 minutes after the hour, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV is going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The trade deadline is coming gone. Can the Nuggets finally get to the finals? Hear our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV and Radio. Chris, well, this time last week, we were kind of still, I mean, some people at least, were still kind of in a little bit of a panic mode. The Nuggets have found a way, though, the last couple of games. What are they, three wins out of their last four? Suddenly, slowly but surely, turning things back around. But now the tough stuff is coming up. A very difficult final, not what, 9-game schedule for the Nuggets. Chris, how you doing, my man?
Doing really well. It's interesting because I think when you look at the Milwaukee and Philadelphia, the next two coming up here, and I think that when I look down the remainder of their schedule, that these next two games are probably their best chances to see really good teams with their stars actually playing. And I don't know that it's going to be the case. I don't know when Kevin Durant's coming back, so I don't know. I think they have Phoenix twice before the end of the season. I don't know when Kevin Durant's coming back in that area. And then Golden State sometimes, especially if the game's in Denver, sometimes they don't even travel some of their stars to the game. So I guess I've just started to assume that they won't face a full Golden State squad. Maybe they might face a full Phoenix squad, maybe the second time around in Phoenix. So that would be interesting. So anyway, prior to that, you have this duo of games. And, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, which last year kind of messed around at the end of the season because they didn't quite care about having the home court advantage throughout. Well, it came back to bite them in the second round. The Celtics beat them in Game 7 in Boston. They don't want to have to go to Boston for a Game 7 in this year's Eastern Conference playoffs. So it would behoove them to continue to play to clinch that first seed. So they're up by 2.5 games. So I think we'll most we'll see. I mean, they're playing tonight, but I still think we'll see Giannis tomorrow because they do want to get this done. And then Philadelphia, you know, what's your motivation level, Joel Embiid, to make another statement in the MVP race? If that's important to him this time around, I'm sure he'll play. And if that's the case in Philadelphia, which has been on absolute fire for the last couple of months, that'll be a fun game too. So I think for the Nuggets, to your point, they have improved. They are not where they were about a month and a half ago, but they're getting back to that. And so these will be two really good games to continue on the road back to being the team that has dominated for the most part this year.
So, Chris, what was it then? You just said it. They're not the team they were like a month and a half ago, but maybe they're getting better. Something changed, and it felt like, okay, they lost to Memphis on February 25th, and it was kind of a butt-kicking there. But then they bounced right back on a back-to-back. They beat the Clippers in overtime. That was crazy. Joker went off in that game. Then you win a few games. You set yourself up for a big game against Memphis. You blow the doors off the place there. Then you beat Toronto, and it was kind of a little comeback they needed to get to beat the Raptors there. But then after that, things kind of went south for Denver. What was it? Was it, they built so much up to play Memphis? Was it the national media getting in their heads? Or is this just, this is when the Nuggets slump chose to hit, was right around the mid-portion of March?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of the latter right there. I think they defensively kind of took that into the court for granted. And, you know, when they start to take the pedal off the metal defensively, it really just falls apart. I mean, it just doesn't get kind of bad. It gets really bad. And I think they just lived in that space, especially during that four-game losing streak where it was anybody, their opponents can just do whatever they want. They could get right to the lane and dribble from dribble driving. They can get any three-pointer they wanted, which the three-point defense has been one of the hallmarks of this basketball team, the Nuggets team, for the majority of the season. And so I just think it started with kind of a laissez-faire approach, to defense. And when that went away, it was a real problem. I think also during the stretch, their three-point shooting has just not been the same as it was early in the season. I mean, they were just on total fire, and they're still one of the leading teams in three-point percentage. I think their last time I checked, which admittedly was a couple of days ago, they were tied at 38% with like three other teams. So still really good there, but not quite as good as they were earlier on. And so you're not able to survive bad defensive games by just out shooting the opponent. I think mentally they were a little mentally fried. I just do. And physically it's a long season, as we all know. And so, usually that'll come back to bite you. We saw the Celtics go through a similar situation a couple of weeks back where they were losing multiple games in a row, and it just happens. And so, you know, good thing for the Nuggets is that they had the rest of the remainder of the regular season to get themselves back into that good space, because they are also not the type of team that can just flip that switch and all of a sudden, boom, you were bad yesterday, but now everything's all good today. So they need to work themselves back into that space. I think that started on that road trip. You mentioned three wins in the last four games, so I think that process is starting, and that's why I think these two games coming up are so important.
How obviously we know about home court advantage, but how important is it for the Nuggets to bust through this thing and hold on to that first spot? Because, again, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know where Golden State's going to end up. That's the team I keep looking at that I would be worried to play in the first round. So, Chris, other than home court, which, again, I know that's important, but outside of that, how important is it to lock up that one seed?
Yeah, I think it's very important for the Nuggets. You know, they're 30-6 at Ball Arena. I mean, that's just, you know, when you're that good at home, then you want to have that be to your advantage as well. And, you know, you didn't come this far just to come this far. You know, you didn't get all the way to the end of the season in first place just to all of a sudden just give that away. And so I think it's very important. I think it's very important in a Western Conference that, I mean, we've talked about this on this show before, and the question is, you know, like, how wide open is it? Which teams do you not – like, the teams down there, down at the bottom, have, like, LeBron James and Steph Curry. And, like, you know, so you want to have all the advantages that you can have when you're talking about individual players like that you could meet up with in that first round, especially. And then as you go through the playoffs, obviously the teams and the team just get tougher to play. So you would like to have 4 games out of 7 at Ball Arena. So I think it's very important for the Nuggets to do that because they are so dominant at home and they've been really successful. And you would rather, let's say, if you're going to run into the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant is back, then you're going to want to be playing the majority of the games on your home court. So I think it's a priority to them. I really do. And, you know, their magic number has to be, what, they have 9 games left?
Yeah.
So maybe it's something around 7. So, you know, they have some work to do. But I think it's important, and I think they want to do it.
Chris, who scares you the most in the Western Conference when you look around? Because you mentioned it, like Phoenix, we have a question mark there. We don't know what that's going to look like. Kevin Durant, when he comes back, is there going to be some growing pains there? What's that look like? The Kings, I mean, a great story, a great regular season, but haven't been there. So there's a question mark there. Memphis, obviously, with Ja Morant, there's stuff happening there. The Clippers, I don't know which team you're going to get. Golden State, they're trying to kind of gel after dealing with their injuries with Steph and stuff. Who scares you the most when you look at this is the team that I'm terrified to see the matchup against with the Nuggets, regardless of the round?
Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Phoenix would be that team for me. I just think that when they are whole and they're just kind of playing out the string right now. They're like, Kevin Durant is cool. Just get healthy. I know DeAndre Ayton has missed a couple games here and there as well. But I just think that team, when they have all of those pieces, it's mighty scary, Brady. It's mighty scary. It really is. And even their bench has really good players as well. So that would be the team I am most concerned with. And right now, where are they? In the 4-5? So the Nuggets would play what? That they'd play them in the second round if both teams got through. So that could be a potential second round, and I don't see why Phoenix is going to get much better in the regular season if they don't have Kevin Durant. So they might just kind of flounder around 500 and just get in at that 4 seed, and then that's why it will be important to have home court advantage against them. And when you look down the list, you know, I think of the teams down there, and I think Golden State's actually going to get in the top 6, but you know, Minnesota, Dallas, Lakers, Pelicans will all, as of today, would all be in the play-in tournament. And I think in order, I wouldn't want to see Minnesota 1, that now that they have Karl Anthony Towns back. And then maybe I would put the Lakers number 2. Now, if New Orleans Pelicans get Zion Williamson back, then they vault out to the number 1 spot on that list. Like, I would not want to see the Pelicans with Zion. I mean, that team was in second place in the West when he was playing on a regular basis. So they can quickly get right back to, you know, that form. But if he's going to continue to be out, then I'll move them down the list, put Minnesota 1, Lakers 2 as the team that you wouldn't want to see, then Dallas 3, and then the Pelicans after that. So, you know, there's a lot of really good players and teams in this Western Conference. It just is, and you can't avoid them all. So you're going to have to. And if you are the team that you say you are, then you got to beat some really good individuals and some really solid basketball teams.
How you feeling about this team now, Chris? Again, we've talked about the little bit of a slump, and not, you know, it wasn't that long of a slump. We'll see how they work this last 9 games out. In the grand scheme of things, hopefully we look back at a 4-game losing streak as just a small blip on the radar. But how do you feel about this team? Because I'll tell you, All year I've said and felt like this is a championship team. I could see them at least going to the finals all year. And my confidence was shaken just a bit just last week. And so I don't know where I am. I still got a lot of confidence with this team, but I'm also not sure if I'm going to be 100% surprised if they struggle in a second round or something. Where are you on this team right now?
It's a good question. I think that for me, I am I'm with you a little bit in terms of, all right, but they can't look like they were looking a week ago or so and have everybody be as confident that they would be the championship team as we were earlier in the year. But I think for me, I think I'm just encouraged by the fact that they are starting to get put the pieces back together again. And, you know, in all the years that I've covered all the sports, you know, the one thing that I do know is that if you have time, if you show yourself to be a certain thing, and the Nuggets really did show themselves to be one of the best teams in the entire NBA, not just Western Conference, then I'm not going to be completely shaken if you go through especially in an 82-game season, if you hit three or four, hit a pass where you're losing three games in a row or four games in a row or, like, say four out of six or something like that. I just think that comes with the territory sometimes. I just do. And so I don't usually overly get worried about that. I think some of the teams around them improve themselves, and then if you couple that with a little bit of a slump, that can give you some concern. But I think overall for me, I'm okay with where they are right now, and I'm okay, especially okay with the fact that, like, Jamal Murray seems to be fine. In terms of his knees and he looks like he's playing with a lot more explosiveness and pop in his legs, and that's essential for this team. And they have runway to be able to get themselves back into a space. And so, you know, I'd be a little more concerned if it was like, all right, now they've lost four straight games going to the end of the regular season. That might be a little more alarming, because now your next chance to come out of that will be then in the actual playoffs. But because they had, you know, 12, 13 games to go, and now 9 games to go, I'm all right with where they are, just as long as they continue to improve.
Well, it's going to be an interesting stretch for sure to see. And, hey, I think it's good. Go up against these top teams. And like you said, we'll see who's playing what, who's playing where, what's been decided already. So, but we're there. We're at the final stretch, man. Playoffs are just around the corner. And I know you guys will be rocking the coverage there as always, and we're looking forward to it, my man.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm the regular season, I'm ready for it.
Me too. Well, especially you. I mean, you're working all the time. But, like, even with me, I'm just like, all right, I've seen enough. Let's just go. Let's get to the playoffs. Yeah. Let's see who's what, and if the Nuggets really are that great team that we think they are.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's the exciting part. I mean, they were so good during the regular season. It's like, wow, what does this look like in the playoffs? And now it seems like it's dragging forever.
Yeah.
But it's almost here. And so, I'm looking forward to it.
It's something, Chris, when you're chasing the playoffs, it's entertaining, but when you've been maintaining a top spot all year, it's almost boring. It's just like, let's go. Let's get to the playoffs.
Exactly right. And they've been that way since December, right?
Yeah, they have. All right, my man, Chris, we'll look forward to coverage tomorrow of that pretty important Bucks game. So can't wait, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be hosting that show, the pre and halftime and post game shows. And so I'm looking forward to being in that role. And yeah, I mean, this is going to be super interesting. So yeah, we'll see, man.
All right. Appreciate you as always. And we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
All right, sounds good. See ya.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude Radio, Altitude TV. Nuggets got some big games coming up. Starts tomorrow night against Milwaukee. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, now you're just getting me excited for football season with that, man.
Hey, Jack, it's a fact. Show's back in town.
Oh, yeah. It's March 24th, though. We have a very, very long time.
Well, for some teams, we only got like 3 weeks till practice starts. off-season
practice. Is that what you're more... I just want to get to the playoffs. NBA, NHL.
Yes, but that
playoffs,
little bit there, like, right before the playoffs start, you get like a couple of days of NFL stuff.
Yeah.
And then the draft.
The draft? I'm not excited about the freaking draft because we're going to get some guy named Larry that played for like Boston College and he's like a fourth string, you know, center.
You're not excited to see where all these quarterbacks go?
Yeah, I'm excited for that, you know, with the rest. But it's like, we're not partaking in that because we gave up all of our draft picks for...
What if you trade up into the first?
Got to trade Jerry. You
trade all your picks to move into the first.
You got to trade Jerry. I mean, that's the guy who's willing to give up a first-round pick for him.
Do they have a trade on the table right now?
I don't know. They got who would they get here? They got a receiver, former Saints receiver. Can't find efforting. There it is. They got Marquez Callaway, who's a Saints wide receiver. Which, was he there before? Was he there when Sean Payton was coaching the Saints? How old is he? Tennessee product. He's a fourth year player, so he did. Yeah, 83 career receptions for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns in 4 years. Just numbers. Just nothing. Nothing to write home about. He appeared in 42 contests and started 17 games for the Saints. Okay. So what does that move mean? I mean, he's... So, 2021, he had 46 catches for 698 yards, 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. Those are legit numbers, right? Those aren't...
Like a wide receiver 2 or 3?
Yeah, those aren't Pro Bowl numbers, but those are, wide receiver 2, 3... last season, though, 16 passes for 158 yards and 1 touchdown. He played 14 games.
Who was their quarterbacks last year?
I mean...
Winston, Hill.
Mm-hmm. And they were kind of in a weird state of influx
right.
for a good chunk of the year. So, clearly this was a Sean Payton guy. It's a guy he drafted. So, what does that mean for Courtland Sutton? Because we just talked about it with the wide receivers on this team.
Does Sutton play special teams?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If he did, I mean, he might have back in the day, but I don't think he played this year.
If a receiver, if you're not sure about, if you can get him on special teams,
well, yeah,
that helps.
Montrell Washington didn't really work out so well returning kicks and punts for Denver. I don't know. It doesn't say that he returned much here. But what does this mean? Because, okay, so now you add him, Callaway, to Judy Sutton, Patrick Handler, Hinton, Montrell Washington, Brandon Johnson, and Jalen Virgil. And don't forget, Brandon Johnson was kind of an intriguing name in the preseason. Kind of liked what we saw from him. And Jalen Virgil, too. But does this move clear a path a little bit more? Now you got more depth. You're not exactly great at your wide receiver position, but you got more depth. Does that give you more confidence to trade away a Jerry Jeudy or a Courtland Sutton?
Possibly, if it's a guy that already knows the system, has experience in film in the system,
well,
familiarity with the coach.
And you're going to go Tim Patrick 1. Isn't he the one, or is it Jerry Jeudy? Or is it Sutton? Who's the one
I think Sutton used to be 1.
And so he's down.
Jerry sees himself as 1, but he likely isn't.
So would you go Tim Patrick 1? Because he's going to block better.
Right.
And he's shorthanded too. So Tim Patrick now becomes 1, based on just right now. And then Judy's 2, or Sutton's 2, Judy's slot.
Is Judy okay with 2 or slot?
I don't know. But that's the thing. How many 3 wide receiver sets are you going to have?
Right.
When you're tightening things up and you brought Manhertz in as a tight end, he's going to be blocking.
I'd probably put this Callaway guy as a slot guy.
So you trade Jerry Jeudy. Doesn't make much sense. Doesn't make much sense to have Callaway. And then we forgot about KJ Hamler.
You're not going to be able to move him with the injury.
No, but once he's healthy, where does he fall in this?
Returner.
I think it's making more and more sense that the Broncos are going to trade Jerry Jeudy. I mean, this move right here, again, it was announced earlier, but the Broncos just posted it, so it's official. But what does that mean for Jerry Jeudy? To me, it means that, yeah, we've got a full wide receiver core here, and we're ready to make a move here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Broncos' first offseason workout program under Sean will begin. Theirs is April 11th. When's the Dolphins?
17th.
Okay. And so Zach had tweeted this out too, Stevens. Broncos officially signed Marquez Callaway. And that might have been a pickup to help with KJ Hamler, but they're still anticipating him to be good through training after training camp or even during training camp.
I mean, this Callaway move sounds like a guy that's he's not quite, you know, just a practice squad guy or a training camp body. He seems like a guy that could compete for a starting job.
No question. 48 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we'll wrap up. We'll get to what did we learn today? What did we learn this week? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. Are we feeling Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 24th day of March? And I learned that you can't judge a book by its cover. Drew Timmy doesn't quite look like a stud that's just going to annihilate you on the basketball floor, but he's been doing it for several, like 600 years now. He's an older player at Gonzaga, but dude, he's making him look silly. 36 points for him. This tournament is wild. It's fun. We had an overtime game with K-State and Michigan State. So I learned that, the first round, second rounds are really exciting, but Sweet 16 is not too bad either.
No, I agree with you. I think got a couple of four more games this afternoon, starting off with the big one.
Big one coming up, man. Bama should be a few point favorites on that one.
7.5.
Okay. Doof. I don't
but
like that
the
spread.
But it's Sweet 16. But never know.
You never know, man.
Of what I've learned this week, NIL and transfer portal affects college sports way more than we think.
Yeah, that was probably the main theme of the week because it's just been absolutely crazy. We did get good news with Isaiah Stevens, though. He just texted me back to confirm it is either the NBA or CSU.
There you go.
That is next. That is what it's going to be. So there will be no overseas or anything like that, no transferring. He is either, which cool for him. Respect, for especially all that we're seeing right now. He could go play at a top college somewhere and be a star, but he's going to stay with CSU. So hats off to him for doing it. And I'm not knocking everybody for the decisions they're making. I get it. There's all these different situations. We're still waiting to see what Dalton Connect does officially. Again, my sources were telling me maybe CU, but who knows? There's a lot of people thinking, you heard one about Dalton Connect going to Alabama.
Yeah.
I heard one about
Xavier.
Saw
one reporter say that.
So, I don't know.
He is going to be a coveted player for sure.
It's like Lytle told us yesterday, or told me yesterday, he's like, they better hurry. The Buffs better hurry and lock him up because he's a good enough player where he could go somewhere for some NIL dollars.
Definitely.
But maybe they have some NIL money down there. Wouldn't that be kind of a mean move, though? Tad Boyle poaching a player from his old guys, from his old school, UNC.
What if Linder takes him?
I don't think so. I mean, he's too good to go up to Wyoming right now, given their situation, right?
But what if he's the guy that
to build
they
around
get him, and they're like, "Hey, we got Dalton Connect.
We got some NIL money at Wyoming.
Maybe.
Hey, Wyoming,
I mean, we got three players. I'm sure there's plenty to go around."
We laugh because it covers up the hurt. Well, that's going to do it for us. Yeah, it's been a crazy week, and I think NIL and all that stuff, it's nuts. We started the week off with Andrew Olirez, though, and Troy Nickerson, the national champ, folks, and that guy ain't going anywhere. So congratulations to him. CU women's tonight, too, going up against Iowa. Can they get this? Is a Sweet 16 for them. They get past it, move to the Elite Eight. We'll see. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.